Bible Study Fellowship, Revelation, The Hope. Lesson 7, God's Plan for His People. Focus verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Today's world is heavily populated, but devastatingly disconnected. Many people connect with hundreds through social media, yet they isolate themselves from people in the same room with heads silently bent over electronic devices. Differences in ethnicity, socioeconomic backgrounds, political views, and cultural expression create barriers that can lead to misunderstanding, conflict, division, and subjugation. God knows this and supernaturally connects His people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who share faith in Christ stand united in community, in stark contrast to the alienation and loneliness in this world. Revelation confirms the centrality of God's people in His plan, now and forever. Every believer is saved through faith in Christ, transformed by the Holy Spirit, and worships the God of eternity. Christians throughout the world share much in common, and our unity transcends our differences. God knits His people together as a foretaste of the glorious unity we will experience as we praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords together for all eternity. Until then, because of union in Christ and with one another, God's people find courage, peace, and wisdom in His Word through His Spirit. Faith in the Deliverer unites God's people in Jesus Christ. Division 1, the beginning of God's people. Revelation describes the bright future God has planned for His people. The book directly encourages suffering believers, highlighting their eternal destiny and ultimate victory in Christ. The letters to the seven churches contain important warnings and assurances for God's people across all ages as they navigate life's hardships. This lesson traces the history of God's people of faith. The glorious conclusion God promises in the future has its roots in the past. The story of God's plan for His people throughout history and across time lays the foundation for Revelation's glorious finale. Believers are strengthened by unity and solidarity with God's people in the past, present, and future. Like all families and nations, God's people had a beginning. When the first man and woman rebelled against their Creator, sin and death entered the world. God made sin's consequences clear to Adam and Eve, but also promised a deliverer who would crush Satan's head. God would deliver triumph and renewal to all who would believe in His promised Son. When Eve gave birth to her first son, she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." But because sin had infected the world, that first baby grew up to act independently of God and murdered his brother Abel, who loved and worshiped his Creator. Humanity broke into two distinct camps, those who followed God and those who pursued their own way. Generations later, God rescued Noah and his family when intensifying corruption and wickedness brought God's judgment through an immense flood. Humankind would now descend from Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. God's plan continued through the Old Testament as He called a people to Himself and prepared them to take His message to the world. God established first a family and then a nation. He chose Noah's descendant Abraham as the one through whom all peoples on earth would be blessed. He chose Noah's descendant Abraham as the one through whom all peoples on earth would be blessed. From Abraham's grandson Jacob were born 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Under Moses, God solidified the nation as He delivered them from slavery in Egypt. With Joshua as leader, God brought them into Canaan, the promised land. Through the dark times of the judges, God raised up deliverers to preserve His people. Amid the highs and lows of Israel's united and divided kingdoms, God continually urged them to return to Him and fulfill their purpose of displaying His character and saving power to the nations. Even when God's righteous judgment meant the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were taken captive by Assyria, 722 BC, and Babylon, 586 BC, God faithfully preserved a remnant of His people. Through His prophets, God promised a deliverer from the family line of King David who would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. God's people are the people of faith whom He chooses, redeems, and lovingly preserves for eternity. In the Old Testament, the people of God were Israelite believers and those from other nations who joined them in seeking God. God's saving power and promises to His people continue today as He reaches around the world to call and save believers in Jesus Christ, establishing His people from every nation. Believers fulfill God's great purpose in the world as they respond to His call to trust, obey, and worship Him alone. Division 2. God's People in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. Jesus, the Son of God. The New Testament presents Jesus Christ, the Messiah and promised King. Jesus was born into a Jewish family of faith, descended from King David. The Father destined His Son to redeem His people by atoning for their sin. Only Jesus, fully man and fully God, was uniquely able to pay the price for our countless transgressions against God's righteous standard. Jesus' sinless human life completely satisfied God's requirement as the perfect sacrifice for those who believe in Him. Jesus died, taking humanity's deserved judgment upon Himself. When He rose from the dead, Jesus guaranteed new eternal life for all who believe in Him. God's people are those who, in the days of the Old Testament, believed in the promise of the Messiah, and since the days of Jesus, believe He fulfills that promise. Pentecost and the Holy Spirit's Power, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Just 10 days after Jesus' disciples watched their resurrected Lord ascend into heaven, Jews from around the world gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Before He left, Jesus promised, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As the Lord's disciples gathered to celebrate Pentecost, they were suddenly overwhelmed by the sound of a strong, rushing wind and saw a tongue of fire over the head of each person gathered. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to praise God in languages they had never learned. The joyful sound of worship drew a crowd, gathering people who were visiting Jerusalem from many countries. Many heard God's praises in their own language. People from many nations heard Jesus' disciple Peter speak the words of the prophet Joel, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." A new era of God's plan for His people began as Christ's church was born. The pervasive, powerful, permanent presence of the Holy Spirit within God's people prepared them to carry on His work on earth. The Holy Spirit unifies Christ's church in fellowship to be enjoyed now as a foretaste of God's eternal kingdom. Peter's Message, chapter 2, verses 22 through 41. Peter, an uneducated fisherman, spoke boldly and powerfully to the diverse Jewish crowd. Peter proclaimed Jesus, God's Son, who was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven. Peter's words cut to the heart of the crowd, who asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter's challenge was clear: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter's call to repentance in the Holy Spirit's power convicted people of their sin and need for the Savior. This call to faith echoed beyond this Jewish audience, as Peter added, "The promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit's mighty power moved that day as 3,000 people were saved from sin, born again, and baptized. The Church of Jesus Christ was born. The kingdom came first to the Jews, but soon included the Gentiles through faith in Jesus Christ. God's people transformed. Chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. God prepared His people to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. The Holy Spirit united the new believers into a vibrant community of faith. No longer satisfied by outward compliance with the law, they devoted themselves to God's truth. They prayed and talked with one another about Jesus, the Messiah they failed to recognize when God's Son lived among them. This believing community created at Pentecost grew daily and continues to expand today. The beloved people of Jesus Christ form His church, born again, cleansed, made radiant, and forever rooted in His love. God desires the church to fulfill its divine purpose to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. God's people often do not have easy lives, but they seek after His eternal purpose by faith in Jesus, who loves them. Their certain, glorious, eternal inheritance secures them to pursue meaningful lives in this world. Called to individual faith, yet united in a common purpose, God's people live for Him and together carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Division 3. The Fullness of God's People. Romans 11. Fullness of the Gentiles. After His resurrection and before His ascension to heaven, Jesus gave His disciples, who were all Jews, the commission, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and be My witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In fact, God has always intended Gentiles to come to know Him. Jesus' mandate to take the gospel to every nation relates directly to our study of Revelation and the end of the age. The fulfillment of Christ's global gospel commission will be a sign of the end of the age. In His final commands, just before His death and resurrection, Jesus taught His disciples, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Jesus identified this important signal to help us keep track of where history is headed. The apostles were not alone in taking the gospel to the Gentiles. As persecution scattered the thousands who turned to faith in Christ in Jerusalem, they preached the word wherever they went. In God's providence, the setback intended by the persecutors of the Christian movement actually propelled the gospel and the church into the world. Paul commended the Colossians, for example, in that the gospel that has come to you is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Fullness of Israel, Romans 11. God planned for a full number of Gentiles and Jewish people to come to faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul clarified the relationship between the Jewish people and believing Gentiles in his letter to the Romans. He used the analogy of an olive tree, whose roots were nourished by God's promises and the covenants He made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. From those spiritual roots grew the trunk of Israel. Because of Israel's unbelief, some of the branches of this olive tree were broken off. Believing Gentiles, whom God called wild olive shoots, unnatural branches, were grafted in among the other branches and received nourishing sap from the root of the olive tree. Paul warned these Gentile believers not to boast or belittle or demean the Jewish branches broken from the olive tree. Believing Gentiles do not support the root, but rather draw nourishment from the spiritual foundation of the root, Israel's spiritual heritage. The same faith in the finished work of Christ that saves Gentiles allows the original branches to be grafted back into the olive tree of true faith. Only by God's work do grafted branches experience spiritual life. Many Christians think the fullness of the believing Gentiles will be achieved when the gospel reaches all nations and people groups. Based on Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, many believe this saturation of the gospel among the Gentiles will induce a significant number of Jewish people to turn to Christ, bringing God's intended fullness to Israel as well. Whether Jew or Gentile, all who believe in Jesus Christ will be saved from destruction, regardless of ethnicity. The scope of God's plan and the breadth of the gospel overcome every barrier known to humanity. God's people stand united in Christ. Division 4. The Unity of God's People, Ephesians 4. Appreciate diversity. God gathers His people from every part of the world. Revelation speaks of God's people as those from every tribe and language and people and nation. The gospel reaches across time, location, and culture. The history of the early church reveals the challenge of people from various cultural and religious backgrounds working and worshiping together. Jewish Christians who scrupulously tried to keep God's law worshiped next to people who had honored idols. Jews and Gentiles ate different foods. In fact, Jews never ate with Gentiles. Today, church congregations often become homogeneous in ethnicity, caste, class, or economic position. However, God designed the diversity of His people to highlight the amazing unity won by His Son's death and His Spirit's power. Today, the body of Jesus Christ reaches around the world. Believers speak various languages, practice different customs, and worship through a spectrum of music. Some are wealthy, others are poor. God's people differ in education, lifestyle, recreation, and dress. While our diversity reflects God's creative splendor, our unity declares the perfection of our Savior's work. Jesus prayed to His Father on the night before He died, "I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." Practice Unity, Chapter 4, Verses 1 through 6. Paul wrote a magnificent letter to the Christians in Ephesus about Jesus' people, His church. Paul spoke of God's eternal purpose as He chose and redeemed His people through His Son's blood. The Holy Spirit seals God's people as a deposit, guaranteeing their eternal heavenly inheritance. The people of God identify with Him and one another because of the Father's will, the Son's sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. The way believers think, speak, and act demonstrates their identity with Christ and love for other believers. Christians are intrinsically united and nurture their corporate identity, not just their individual relationships with Christ. Some in Ephesus abandoned their cultural beliefs to follow the Savior. Paul encouraged them to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He urged a life of humility, patience, and love. Love and unity characterize those who belong to Jesus. Pursue Maturity, Chapter 4, Verses 7 through 32. The church's diversity extends beyond ethnicity and backgrounds. Believers have various gifts, strategically distributed by the Holy Spirit. Some are called to lead and teach. Others serve in different ways. God gifts and positions each believer to contribute to the spiritual maturity of the entire community. Maturing in Christ means moving beyond futility of thinking. Apart from God and His will, all our efforts are wasted. Without the certainty of an eternally significant life, people indulge in material greed and excuse impurity. God's people are new creations. By His power, believers put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on the new self, yielding to the Holy Spirit in daily choices. God desires His people to reflect His holiness and character. The Holy Spirit within believers accomplishes this purifying work of our sanctification. We renew our minds as we allow the Spirit to frame our thoughts, values, and priorities through God's Word. God also accomplishes His sanctifying purposes through our relationships with others. He uses people in our lives to shape our integrity, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love. God places us in community to stimulate our growth in holiness. God's people spur one another to be more like Jesus as we yield to the Holy Spirit in our daily choices. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, today and forever, God has established a plan for His people. Everything in Scripture and eternity revolves around Jesus Christ. God's people look to Him for salvation and eternal hope. Faith in the Deliverer unites God's people in Jesus Christ. God's chosen and beloved people. The doctrine of election. God's eternal plan to redeem people from sin and death incorporates marvelous truth that reveals His heart of grace and mercy. Humanity's fall into sin left people so corrupted by sin that without God's intervention, no one would seek God or believe the gospel. Before time began, God mobilized a plan to redeem sinners and call individuals to saving faith. God's sovereignty in electing people to salvation does not negate anyone's responsibility to turn to Christ in faith. God extends His offer of salvation to all and elects those who trust in Christ. As faltering and finite human beings, we often struggle to understand the mind of God. No one receives judgment they do not deserve. Grace received is never earned. God can always be trusted to do what is right. God sets His people apart from all the people in the world. He graciously redeems them through His Son's blood. He grants them the faith by which they believe and live. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence guarantees transformative new life within God's people. Motivated by God's love, believers follow Jesus and keep His commands. God's ways often confound us. How can God elect some people to salvation and hold those who refuse to come to Christ responsible? Scripture teaches human depravity, God's election, the open offer of salvation, and human responsibility to believe in Christ. How can we reconcile these truths? When pondering such things, we struggle to harmonize what God declares. Too often, people reject truth they cannot fully reconcile rather than trust God's infinite mind and righteous purposes. Everything God does is rooted in His character, which is good and just. We can trust God with what we cannot fully fathom. Sometimes God's ways do not make sense to us. Trusting Him does not require blind allegiance to competing truths, but reasoned faith that recognizes the mystery and wonder of God and His plan. How are you comforted to know that God's mind exceeds your thoughts? The mystery of God, election, and human responsibility invites us to believe what the Bible declares, trust God's higher ways, and rejoice that everything God does is right. Take to heart. Hold fast. God created the world and made people in His image. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve and corrupted humanity, but did not deter God's plan. Throughout human history, God has called a people unto Himself. In the Old Testament, He raised up individuals and the nation of Israel to represent Him to the world. Though the faithfulness of His people wavered, God's faithfulness remained steadfast. God gave the Israelites a sacrificial system of worship that pointed to the ultimate gift of His Son as humanity's Savior. He preserved His people and fulfilled His promise of the Deliverer even amid their rebellion and idolatry. Christ entered the world, died for humanity's sin, and opened a way for individuals to receive eternal salvation. Across time and cultures, the Holy Spirit has drawn people to saving faith in Christ. In Christ and through the Holy Spirit, God's people can be unified in ways our earthly nations and tribes cannot. The unity of God's diverse people offers one of the most effective testimonies for the gospel. God's work in the world involves His people. Saved by God's grace, believers carry the message of salvation to a lost world. One day, all God's people will gather around His throne to sing His praises forever. God's plan for His people grants them hope and peace, living in the world while anticipating heaven's glory. Apply it. If you are not certain you belong to God as one of His people, will you respond to Him now? Confess to Him you are a sinner, cannot meet His perfect standards, and often resist Him. Ask Him to forgive you and receive Christ's atoning sacrifice on your behalf. As you trust in Jesus, His Holy Spirit creates new life within you and remains with you forever. How do you live out your God-given identity? Are you experiencing a dynamic relationship with Jesus and His people? Identification with Christ and His church provides security and hope in this life and for eternity. If you are under pressure or suffering because you follow Christ, trust God's will, power, and eternal love for you. Seek the strength and unity afforded by fellowship with other believers. When you identify with Christ as your Savior and recognize Him as eternity's King, you stand on God's promises and align with God's people. Nothing can be better than that. How do you identify and connect with God's people? An individual who comes to faith in Christ enters a community of faith. God calls His people to live connected to and dependent upon one another. Christians must focus not only on their personal walk with the Lord, but also on the vital and challenging responsibility of engaging with one another. Commitment to your local church and other believers is God's plan for you. How connected are you to the people within your own church? God uses relationships among believers to accomplish His sanctifying work, bringing accountability and timely encouragement that His people need to thrive and grow. God knits together His people, the church, creating unity and celebrating diversity, all to His glory. The worship and work believers experience today prepares them for eternity. This concludes this week's lesson. Thanks for listening, and we'll join you again next week.